I'm Bye. Gentlemen, welcome to what feels like what should be an extraordinary day on our calendar. It's hard to believe it's just a regular Tuesday night, but the truth is, we began to have Rebbe several years ago. We began an annual event like this. COVID rudely interrupted. We were only able to have Rebbe twice. Behind the bima, but tonight Rebbe is back on the bima. Ron Esabag, the highest, the holiest. Thank you for lifting us. Thank you for moving us to sing and to dance. And everyone, I hope you have no plans tomorrow because we're going to sing and dance through the night. So thank you, Ron. What a schus, what a privilege it is to have Rav Weinberger Shlita back in our community. What a schus it is to be together again and to bring Rebbe's inspiration and Kedusha to our Beis Knesset, to our shul, and to our community. There are so many things to be grateful to Rebbe for, but tonight I want to add to that list. The Rav Weinberger, the Holy Ish Kodesh community, very selflessly have agreed to share a gem, a jewel of the Jewish people with us. They've agreed to share Rav Yonah Levin, who will be coming down, please God, as the Rosh Yeshiva, the incoming Rosh Yeshiva of the brand new Yeshiva of South Florida. And it could only happen, it could only take place with the support and with the partnership of the Weinberger and the Ish Kodesh community. And so for that and so much else, we're so grateful. I want to begin with a karsa filled with gratitude tonight and thank our sponsors, our supporters, Baruch Hashem, it's a long list. We won't read it out loud. You've seen it on the slide.
We're getting there. Want to switch?
Yeah, frequencies, yeah.
No problem.
Want to take it? Should this go?
Please look at the flyer when you see those who have been supportive and enabled tonight's program. And so much learning in our community, well beyond it. Please make sure to thank them. Very special thank you to the committee who organized and arranged tonight, led by our beloved Rabbi Aaron Mirzoff. Rabbi Mirzoff, thank you for putting so much love into tonight's program. Our incredible staff, the Rabbanim who worked so hard, Jeffrey, who brought a special touch, a new member of our BRS staff we're so happy to have on board, who worked hard for tonight, Yaakov Lupin. So excited to have him. Our amazing custodial staff, we're so grateful for setting up. And I missed the cue to thank Choni when he came up. But a big thank you to Choni, Choni Productions, always for doing such a wonderful job. This room may be packed, this room is overflowing and full. For those who are enjoying tonight or walk away so inspired, are not only in this room, my good friend, Nachi Gordon, and the incredible organization and platform he has built, Meaningful Minute, is live streaming right now. I have no idea how many are watching, but I'm sure with his reach, it is many. And so we welcome you wherever you are in the world. Welcome to Boca Raton. Hopefully you can feel that warmth through the technology. And a big, big thank you to Nachi, to Meaningful Minute, for their partnership and sponsorship this evening. Big thank you to Sarah Studios, incredible photography, so many of our programs and events. Thank you for capturing them so that we can continue to experience and relive them over and over again. Tonight is not just the opportunity to hear from Rav Weinberger, from Rebbe, to sing and to dance, but tonight to recognize and to pause for a moment to celebrate the extraordinary Dr. Yitzhak Belazon Beis Medrash of the Boca Raton Synagogue. I want to tell you why we're so proud of the vast and diverse learning opportunities that it provides and offers on so many different levels, among the many learning opportunities in the community at large, the Scholars in Residence program, and our incredible Danny Grayshower, La'a Shalom Midrasha, Women's Midrasha, our youth learning and programming. But I want to focus, tonight we are here to celebrate and express our appreciation to the Dr. Yitzhak Belazon Beis Medrash. Suk's Parsha, Parshas Yisro, not unique, but unusually, is named not for a righteous Jew, is named for a non-Jew who debated if he joined the Jewish people or not, but when he comes on the scene, Yisro is not a member of Klal Yisro, and yet a Parsha in the Torah is named for him. According to many, Yisro first arrives to join the Jewish people in the desert after we receive the Torah, and yet the Torah does not go chronologically. The Rebbeinu Shlomo, when he dictated the Torah, put the story of Yisro first, and the question is why? Chaim Shmulevitz and many explain that Yisro had a critical and crucial quality. Yisro had something every one of us needed to learn from. It deserves a parsha being named for him. And if it was a prerequisite, before we can read and before we can re-experience the receiving of the Torah, we have to remember this koach, this skill, this talent. We have to remember this character trait of Yisro. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Yisro is the quintessential mevakish. He's thirsty. He's curious. He's inquisitive. He wants more. He wants to grow. He's not satisfied or complacent. It's never enough. Commenting on Yisro's declaration, Ati Adati, Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol Eloheim. Now I know that Hashem is the greatest of all gods. Rashi points out, based on the Mechilta, that Yisro is well positioned to know, because Yisro had studied comparative religion, Shloimiach, Avodah Zarah, Shloavda. He had experimented, he had worshipped, he had tried everything. And at first glance, you wonder, Yisro, such a righteous and noble person, why are we collectively speaking Lashon Hara about him? Why would we continue to commemorate that he experimented and tried every Avodah Zarah in the world? You're not supposed to remember about children, about their past. You're not supposed to remind them. So why are we reminding each and every year in this parasha and through Chazal? And the author of Kelm points out that in fact, It's not a denial. We're not disparaging Israel or complimenting him. The Torah's not knocking him down, he's building him up. The Torah's telling us now he became a Yisro. Because he was a Mavakish. He was looking for the truth, and he wasn't satisfied until he discovered it. Others, it would have been good enough. They saw, they experimented the other religions. But for Yisro, it wasn't enough. Chevra, my friends, this beautiful community who are here physically and who joined us through technology globally, our aim, our aspiration, the goal of our Beis Medrash is to be a community of mevakshim. To be people who are thirsty and who are hungry, who are searching, who are yearning, who are looking. We can't control necessarily the IQ we're born with, the memory we have. We can't control so much of our DNA, but we can control how hungry we are, whether we are mevakish. That's the mission of our Beis Medrash. My daughters once shared with me something she had learned. Torah is compared to water. You know, water is very bland. It doesn't have a taste. Nobody slices into a juicy steak with a tall glass of water. Water is bland. It's tasteless. And yet, a person who's thirsty, coming from a run at the end of a fast day, there's nothing better, more delicious than a tall glass of water. Because water's taste is relative to the thirst that you have for it. That's Torah. If you're not hungry, if you're not thirsty, if you're not searching, you can feel bland. But if you're a mevakish, as the Pasuk both in Tehillim and Divrei Hayom, it tells us, Yismach Lev Mevakshe Hashem. The Chafetz Chaim says, Yismach Lev. Normally when you search for something, you're only happy when you find it. Says the Chafetz Chaim, if you're a mevakish Hashem, Yismach Lev, you're happy just from the search. That is the mission of our Beis Medrash. Named aptly, for an incredible mevakish, Dr. Yitzhak Belazon, Zichron Levracha. By the privilege of growing up and watching his son Avram, my dear friend, who's been a lifelong chavrusa, Dr. Belazon, Zichron Levracha was a mevakish. Everywhere he went, he just wanted to share Torah. A prominent, respected doctor and physician, and that might have been his career and even his calling, but who he was, his identity, was learning Torah, teaching Torah, sharing Torah. He was mevakish, and he made others had that same bikush. And so we're so grateful tonight to Avram and Alana, to the whole Belazon family, for what you've done to promote, to share, and to spread Torah in our community. Can never express enough gratitude for the countless programs and learning opportunities for us to express our thirst and quench our thirst. The afternoon kollel, the Erev Shabbos kollel, the night seder, the visiting Rosh Hashiva series, the boys Chavrusa learning, Avos Ubanim, the Yadrim journal that's published each year, the summer kolom, the chevra who are here now in the winter kolom, and the list goes on and on. He was a mevakish, and we are trying to be a community of mevakshim in his name. And for that, we are so indebted. Thank you so much for your generosity and leadership. I want to add our gratitude to our Rosh Beis Medrash, Rav Simcha Shabtai, Rabbi Shabtai. Thank you for all you do to organize, to lead, to coordinate, and to create the incredible learning opportunities within our community. She continued to go mechayel achayel and see tremendous mazel and hatzlacha. Yismach leiv mevakshe Hashem. For most of us, for many of us, for all of us, do we know a bigger mevakish Hashem than Mori Verabi, than Rav Weinberger? You're lit on fire just sitting in his vicinity. It's contagious. That enthusiasm and that energy and that passion, in that romantic way in which he describes a relationship with Hashem, bringing our Yahadus, our Torah, to life. Rebbe, you teach us to be thirsty, and then you quench our thirst. You teach us what it means to be a mevakish, no matter what age, no matter what stage of life, no matter where you are or where you come from, to always remain hungry and thirsty, to yearn and to search, to look for more and more. Thank you for pushing us, and thank you for lifting us, and thank you for inspiring us on a regular basis. Kadosh Baruch Hu should continue to bless us with the opportunity to learn from you. Without any further ado, what a schus it is, please rise and join me in welcoming Rav Weinberger Shliff.
Shusi did nafshi, the golf. and the wonderful, wonderful Rabbanim, my shutif back home, Rabbi Levin. Wait what you see over time, you're just beginning to see what a treasure Yesh Kodesh and Boker Tana Shirin Hashem. I wouldn't even use the word shutfus. I feel that Yesh Kodesh and Boker Tana, I feel that it's like a brother, a sister. I feel such a connection. It wasn't even a shaila when I came up, but what Rabbi Levin could accomplish here, and I have other Talmidim who are here, and I believe that we have the same dream, the same hope, the same vision. You know, I'm so sorry, I have to apologize, but when you were talking, I was thinking about, I don't know why it came into my head, a non-Jewish song that I used to listen to 50 years ago. Please be honest with me, and don't go right away and Google to find it. Just believe me, it was a song like that that had these words, and it came from a person who was not from the Lamavad Tzaddik. I was thinking about how wonderful life is while you're in the world. That's what I was thinking. And I had that feeling about this entire kahila. Those who I know personally, those who I don't know personally, but what's happening here, what you're doing. All over the world, the Shem Tov that you have. Before all of New York picked up and moved. I'm so sorry for causing aggravation. You know, the old Kevra, I'm sorry. Over time, give them a chance. You work with them, they'll hold the door open, they'll say thank you. Just a little bit of time, they're really very, very good. Just, the manners are off. They'll be okay. They'll be okay. A lot of cold winters has that effect on you. But I'm talking to a Rabbi Samedrish filled with warm Jews, men and women, Mavak Shesha. And last time that I was zeichet to be here, before all the insanity and sadness set in, I did something which is a little bit unconventional even by my standards, and I just took out my phone and I played you a song, Beautiful Negin Only You. And some of the chevra from here I've met over the years. I've met you in different places, and a couple of times someone just starts to sing Only You, and I say, who are you? And it says, I was in Boca. So if we're bringing together, I'm not going to play a song tonight, but I want to continue this chelik beis of that conversation. This is a reason, as long as it takes in the shum till we all go back together to Yerushalayim, we'll continue there also. This chelik beis. With Fabrengen. The Fabrengen, Jews sit together. The greatest Mashpia Chabad Lubavitch of this generation was, of course, the great Tzaddik, the Goyim, Rabbi Yoel Kahn, who passed away a short time ago, not long ago. I don't know how many of you heard of him. A remarkable person. I was able to hear many shiurim from him. He was born in Russia. He came to Eretz Yisrael as a child. He grew up in Tel Aviv. Eventually went to Panovich, came from Lubavitch family, and then ended up coming to the Rebbe when the Rebbe was here. And then all of the years he remained in New York, the Rebbe's Chayzer, as you know. A photographic memory. I remember by the Fabrengens, he'd be standing by the pole, leaning his head against the pole, with his eyes closed, listening to the Rebbe. Then afterwards he would repeat the entire 4 hour, 3-4 hour Sicha, word for word. So he sometimes spoke about the interesting people that he knew in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is a very colorful city. We don't know what it was like 50, 60, 70 years ago. It was very different than it is now. There are many rebbes there and great people. Together with the rest of the chevra, there were a lot of bat midrashim, tzaddikim. And Rabbi Yoel spoke once about an interesting character who he said was one of the biggest maskilim in Chassidus. A very, very profound thinker. A deep thinker in Chassidus and Kabbalah. His name is Rav Zalman Moshe Yitzchaki. In Chabad, they don't make a big deal about people and titles. Rabbi Yoel himself walked around with the shirt out and we're going to a bakery to get a Danish. That's how it was. And this person was a Jew that knew all of Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Chassidus, Kabbalah. And he used to oftentimes just walk up and down the streets thinking, chasming over a maimon of the Rebbe. At that time, it was the Friedrich Rebbe. And one day he was walking there in Tel Aviv, Rabbi Yoel said. And he was saying over and over and over again the words Ein Od Melevad, which is only you. Only you. Hashem, only you. And he was saying these words, Ein Od Melevad. There was a maimon by the Rebbe, and he was walking on the block, Rabbi Yoel said, and there was a little boy that was playing by himself, by the name of Mordechai. And Rav Zalman Moshe said, Mordechai, I need you. Could you come with me just for a few minutes? And he said, sure. And he sat down. Now, you can't do this in 2021, Tavshin Pei Bei, it's about 22. You can't do this. He took out a bottle of schnapps, Lubavitcher. He took out a bottle of vodka. And he took two cups, and he poured one for himself. I want for 8-year-old Mordechai. Two cups. And you know what in the Bible is? I don't have a glass of vodka. You know what I mean? They have cups. And he put two cups of vodka. And he said, Mordechai, I need you. I'm working on this so much, but I can't unless I fabrang with somebody. So if we could fabrang together, is that okay? And the little boy said, sure. So he said, look, You're only 8 years old, you're not allowed to drink yet. I guess like in a year or so, but not now. You're not allowed to drink yet. So I'm going to drink your cup also. It's for you, but I'm going to be moitzi. I'll be moitzi here with him. And the little boy, he told this story, and the girl said it over that he sat there with Rabbi Zalman Moshe for 6 hours singing. And Rabbi Zalman Moshe said over a hezbara, a perish on the mind of the Friedrich Rebbe, on the mind of, and these words, Ein Od Melevad, there's only Yil Hashem. And Rabbi Yoel asked, like, what's the story with this little boy? It's amazing that he sat there like that. He didn't understand at all what the tzaddik was talking about. Kabbalah, Chassidus, whatever. And he's going to lose this little game. So Rabbi Yoel said that without the oil, without the chevra, without the chesidim, without the fairness, one can't bring that truth of Ein Od Melevad to the deepest part of oneself. And he didn't have it, but he was busy. So he took little Mordechai, another Jew, and he fabrained with him. I didn't come here, chevra, to say a shiur. There are a lot of shiurim, I get a lot of shiurim. I didn't travel from New York and have to put that stupid thing on my face for 4 hours this morning so I can give you a shiur. Listen on tape for the shiurim. I came to Fabrin with friends of mine, some I know, some I don't know, because of my great love for your Rav, the Rebbein here, because I'm so excited for Rabbi Levin, for my dear friend Rabbi Yoni being here. The families I know here, my Talmud, Rabbi Sadi, Yeshiva, Hari, Bari, and other chevra that I have here, if I bring together with you, to continue with Chelik Beis of what I spoke about a few years ago, Ein Od Melevad. So let me talk to you a little bit about what the Rav was saying, and then I know, from Reb Chaim, from where it is. A little bit to explain. But again, by way of bringing you together, not by way of teaching you something or a class or a lesson. You have fantastic teachers, you don't need me at all. So for bringing you a little bit, without the vodka, but for bringing you a little bit. It is a good question, and this is what the Rebbe's talking about. There's a question that was asked by the Maharal and Gerarye. It's asked by Mizrahi, the Farshim. Are Yishma Yisrael that Yisrael heard Kriyas Yamsuf, Mechamas Amalek, Kriyas Yamsuf, he heard some great stories. It's called Asher Osel Lekim L'Mayishel Yisraelam, Kehoithi Hashem Yisrael Mitzvah. So he heard these Gevaldige Meisim. And as the Rav explained, he was a big Mavakir, so that's why he was looking at every other Zara in the world. They were great people. They were looking for the truth. And Vayishma Yisrael, and Yisrael heard about these things. And then he got up, Vayikach Yisrael, and he went and took the family, and they went. And then 7 psukim later or so, Vayetze Moshe Lukas Choysna, Vayishtaf, Vayishak, Vayishal, Yishaveh, Vayishon, Vayavo Ha'ela, Vayishay, there's a nice Kabbalah stone, he welcomed him. And then Vayishapa Moshe Lukasna, is called Asherosa, Hashem HaPa'al HaMitzah. The Moshe Rabbeinu told over the mice. He told over what happened. Shai, Paro, the whole story. So Maral Graye, Yodim Farshim, are asking, what changed over here? The Maisa Yisro knew the entire story. And the Chlal, when the Farshim are asking, why did he have to come to join Bnei Yisrael? So if it's a question of Geiris, of conversion, to begin with, what was the nature of Geiris at that time? This goes back to the question, was it before Hasinai, after Hasinai? What was the nature of Geiris, of conversion at that time? And even if there was a need to have a Besdin, or whatever that would have meant, and what kind of Kabbalah Samitzvah there would have been, but even if there would have been a Besdin, certainly the Besdin could have been sent to him. If it was a matter of his education, of studying, of having a program, like every Ger has a program, to study, to learn. I've had the Swiss to be involved in that over the years many times. Chazal tell us that Yisro was a brilliant man. He had manuscripts of the Sefer Yetzirah going back to Avraham Avinu. He also had, you know, we know Chazal tell us that there was a Mesechta of the Zohar that Avraham Avinu that had 400 prokim. We don't understand what that was, what those prokim were about, what that Torah was of Shem Ve'eder, or that primordial Torah from before there was, the Torah that the way we understand it. But certainly Yisroel was very learned. And if there were things that he needed to catch up on, there was no shortage of qualified teachers that could have gone there to teach him. And it was a matter of the family, he could have sent the family ahead, he didn't have to go himself. So where did he go? Why did he leave? Let's try to understand the nature of this bikush that the Rebbe is talking about in ourselves. And the Fabrengen of that Lubavitcher with little Mordechai. What that was about. And why it's so important that we're able to have this time together and that your Rabbanim here understand the significance of these Fabrengens. And want to have them. I have a brother-in-law whose father was one of the great, great Lamdanim in the old Meir Yeshiva in Europe. His name is Rav Matul Rabinowitz Zechasar Levoch. He's a huge Talmud Chacham. In the earlier years, when he lived in Canada, he was Rosh Yeshiva there in Montreal. And then he spent the last 40 years or so in Yerushalayim. We see who's London. And all of that royalty, that nobility of a Lithuanian Tom Chochem, he had. Whenever you spoke to him, he was always annoyed because nobody understood him. But he was trying to get across. So I remember when it was my brother-in-law's, this is a long time ago, it was his, I think his 40th birthday. And Ramotel and his wife, she should be well. Ramotel's not alive anymore for a long time. He was almost 100 when he was nifted. Baruch Hashem. Rachel, Rachel is. So they came in for the cover of the son's 40th birthday in Flappish. And Ketoyev, Leif HaMalach B'Yayin, I decided I'd ask Ramotel for a story. This is after he made a monumental speech. He was asked to speak, and I remember that he got up and he said, who covered his son's 40th birthday, he turned to my brother Shlomi and he said, you're 40 years old. Sofko, sof, what have you done your entire life? What have you accomplished? Why are you having a birthday? I don't even understand. So after that's the party sort of ended at that point. And then afterwards, I was talking to her market. And my daughter Siri is here. She's an amateur model. And I asked him the model, you were by Rabbi Yochanan. You know what I'm talking about, Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan the Mashiach, Rabbi Yochanan the Rav, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Livracha. Rabbi Yochanan died a long time ago. Quite a few years before the Balcham. And Ramotel was already a grown person. So I asked Ramotel, can you tell me something about Rabbi Yochanan? So right away he got very annoyed with me. He said, oh, Shain, one chassid shamans, I don't tell ma'amaisim, I'm not a chassid. You go to some rabbi to get a ma'amaisim. I said, I didn't ask for chassid shamaisim, I asked him to talk to you about your rabbi. Tell me something about your rabbi. Was that doing chassidus? So he was quiet, and his eyes got red. And then he said to me the following. He was very emotional, and he was holding my coat. He said, do you know what a pickle is? I said, yeah. He said, I don't mean the ones they have in the stores. Do you know how they make pickles? So I said, yes, my mother used to make her own pickles with cucumbers and putting it into the brine, actually. That's what happened by Rabbi Yochanan. I said, what? He said, Rabbi Yochanan pickled us. And he was shaking. He said, Rabbi Yochanan pickled us. Ever since Rabbi Yochanan, he says to me, Meisha, ever since Rabbi Yochanan, I can't look at the world anymore in a silly way. I can't look at my life as being meaningless. I can't enjoy certain pleasures that other people enjoy in the world. And it's not just me, it's the rest of us. From those lions that were part of that group. He said, you remember, Yochanan did something to us, he pickled us. And then he let go of me, and he walked away. And over the years, I've thought about that thousands of times. And I've cried out, I'm telling you sincerely to Hashem, thousands and thousands of times, Rabbi Shalom, I'm begging you, please pickle me. I don't have Rabbi Yochanan. I was urged to have great Rebbeim there already long ago, they went to the world of truth. One of my rebellion, what was I to have, you all heard of Rabbi Yosef Yassel Veji, he's inside the Vach. And the Rav said, and in his mishpacha in Brisk, there were the tzaddikim in Brisk said this, which I've mentioned many times over the years. But it's really quite remarkable. In Erevin, Daf Nun Dalet, where they were told, Ketzed Seder Mishnah. We're told how Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah to the Jewish people. He reviewed it, the Aaron of the sons, and ultimately everybody reviewed four times, as you know. So Brais and Aaron, that's, we live because of that, that's how we live. That's how Torah Shvata, that's how it works. That's how it started, that's how it goes. So in that case, I'd say the Mishnah, the Rav explained, the Rav said, that's interesting, that there is a very, very important Jew who's missing from the Seder Mishnah. And it cannot be that he, like, he was out with COVID or something. He's missing. Who's that? No? Who's missing over there? Who is this also founded? Heaven. Yeshua. Yeshua was his closest Talmud. It says entirely, Marsh, he never left the tent. But Yeshua's name is not in the Seder Mishnah. Yeshua was the greatest Talmud Chacham. He was the one who was most connected to Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. Nevertheless, he's not in that Seder Mishnah. But every one of us opens up the Seder. You don't have to even open up the Mishnahs because it's printed in every Seder Pekiyahu's. Men, women, children. And we begin, we say the words, Moshe Kibbutz Mishnah, Umisal Yeshua, and so on. So Rav asked, what's going on? In Erevin, he's missing Yeshua from Ketzed Seder Mishnah, the Seder of Torah Shebaal Peh. And yet, in Pirkei Avos, is Moshe Kibbutz Mishnah Umisal Yeshua? He's the man. So the Rav explained, I'm sure many of you have heard this. The Rav explained, it doesn't say Moshe Kibbutz Mishnah v'lomdo liYeshua. It doesn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah or learned the Torah and he taught it to Yeshua. It says that he received the Torah and he gave it over to Yeshua. And the Rav said there's a very big difference. In Erevin, there the Gemara is talking about the curriculum, the material of Yiddishkeit. And we have to have very, very good teachers who know the material and prepare the material with all kinds of good stuff to give over those lessons of Torah. We depend on them, those teachers. We have some all-stars that are growing up here in the community, future teachers. We need them, desperately. But Yeshua knew all that material. He knew all of that. But Yeshua was something else. I was talking with a couple of chevra, right before we were talking to some of the chevra, and one of the chevraim asked, could I say something about my father's zechron livracha? Yesterday was my father's yahrzeit. The second year. And you know, many of the people who know me know that my father was a survivor of Mauthausen. He was an extraordinary person. Could I say that my father, when I was growing up, taught me so much Torah? Not as much as I taught my own son. My own son, I sat down and I made him crazy. He ran through Mezechta after Mezechta. Before his bar mitzvah, I'm talking about when he was already like 9, 10 years old, because I was determined he was going to be the next Rav Moshe Feinstein. Baruch Hashem, he's wonderful, but there aren't too many Rav Moshes there. And my father didn't have the time. Even though he learned a lot before the war, he came on very, very late. He was working very hard those years. So I can't say that my father taught me Torah the way that I taught my son Torah. But you asked me, I think it was Ari that asked me for a story, but I could tell you that my father, Zichron Levracha, gave over to me Yiddishkeit. It doesn't say the Lamda V'yashu. It says, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Messina, he received it from Sinai. You see, Yehoshua was pickled by Moshe Rabbeinu. And I was pickled by my father. I can't think differently. As much as I try very often to think differently, I also was pickled by my father. Gemara Brachos Daf Zayin. The Gemara says that being in the presence of Torah greatness and even serving or taking care of the needs, the shimush of a Talmud Chacham, is gadol the shimush yoisim limuda. It's greater than even the curriculum. Receiving from the tzaddik, being picked up by the tzaddik, absorbing the tzaddik. I've told many times that my Rebbe Mufak really was Rav David Lipschitz, Zecher Tzaddik Goes Levracha. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's in East Kaddish. And I was very dovuk to him, and I used to drive him and take him. And once I was taking him to bake matzahs, and I'm on the FDR drive, and he said to me, he asked me to say over something in Chassidus, even though it wasn't his mahalach, but he loved to learn. He was also very new. So he asked me to say, so I started to say, over, I was driving, and I started to say something from the Avnei Nezer. And he said to me, get off the highway right away. He was like upset with me. I didn't know what happened. I thought it was a good fart. He said, get off the highway. So I waited for the next exit, and I got off, and I went to the first street, and I pulled over, and I said, Rebbe, what is it? He said, say, look, nachem hol devar, from Abinezer. And I said over the Torah from Abinezer, and then he said, move. And he grabbed me, we went outside the car, and we did a week with him, and he did a dance with me. It's not a chassidish yigid. He did a dance with me on the sidewalk with people walking by. That 5-10 minutes on the sidewalk by the FBI drive changed my life in more ways than many of the shiurim that I can remember, some of the many that I can't remember of the shiurim that I heard from Rav David. See, Yeshua, of course Yeshua was teaching Torah every minute of his life. When it says in the Gemara that the shimush of Torah is yoisim limuda, the Maariv Chayei says over there, by the way, in the back of the Maariv Chayei, the Maariv Chayei says, because the Gemara brings the pasuk about Elisha, says that Elisha poured the water over the hands of his Rebbe, Eliyahu. And the Maariv Chayei says that what that Gemara is telling us is that the way that Elisha understood the inyan of Netilas Yadayim was not because he just heard the halachas, the class, but because he was there when Eliyahu HaNavi washed his hands. I saw. I was holding the water. I saw Eliyahu's hands. I saw him make the bracha. Gedol Shimush Yosem Limud. there was a tzaddik who was by the Lashon Tov HaKadosh. He's one of the Kurovim to the Lashon Tov HaKadosh. He's not as well known. He was a very, very hidden person. We know very little about him. Rabbi Yehuda Leib from Austria. His son was Rabbi Yehudi. Some of you might have heard of Rabbi Yehudi. So he was much more famous. But the father of Yehuda Leib was a big, big, big tzaddik. And we don't have Torah from him. There are a few sentences here and there that are found in the Svarim from Harav HaKadosh of Yehuda Leib from Austria. And I saw once in a sefer that this Rabbi Yehuda Leib was a Mayan and was a gaber of Torah. On Shabbos, for hours it was Torah. Hours, Yom Tov, Shchodesh Torah. But he didn't write anything. And one year there was a very, very talented and ambitious chassid, also had such a head, like Rabbi Yoel, that kind of a head to photographic memory. And after Shabbos, he would write down the Torahs. After Yom Tov, he wrote down the Torahs. And he did one year of Torah. And this one year, it says in the Sefer, I read this, was a huge bich, a book of papers. One year of Torah from Rabbi Yehuda Leib, like this. And he was scared, but he went to the Rebbe, and he presented this to the Rebbe, this year of Torah that he wrote over, which is the dream of every teacher of Torah, that his Torah should be able to get into the world. And if Yehuda Leib sat with this, the pages, and he was going over the pages, yeah, it's almost like a head like that, you know. He didn't see anything to say. And the chassid was crestfallen. He was devastated. He was sure that the Rebbe was going to be so excited, so thrilled. And the chassid says, Rebbe, is there something that you saw that I didn't say over? I didn't write it correctly. I'm willing to do anything to edit, to fix it. If Rebbe can look at it and go over it more. So Yehuda Leib told him the following. Listen, I still have you, and I'm going to wait already a few more minutes. All right. So Yehuda Leib said to him, listen, you did a fantastic job. It's a gewaldig good work that you did. And I thank you for it. But I want to ask you something. Did you ever see a lumberjack in the forest cutting down a tree? You ever see a lumberjack cutting down a tree? So the chassid said, yeah, everybody saw it in those years. I said, sure. You saw the lumberjack with the axe. You saw him cutting down a tree. Yeah. Tell me something, did you ever see a painting of a lumberjack cutting down a tree? And he thought, he said, yeah, I've seen paintings like that. And the painting that you saw, is it the same as what you saw yourself, the lumberjack, cutting the tree? He said, yeah, it was a good painting. So the tzaddik said, Rabbi Yehuda Leib said, when you saw the lumberjack, when he picked up that heavy axe and that big thing, he gave a crach. He said, oi, Andrew, he gave a crach. Oi, oi. For this one's panasa, for this one's shidduch. Right? Oh, it's this heavy. Oh, you might die. Oh, you might pour. Oh, Baruch Shalom, help me. You heard when he lifted up, it was with an eye, right? And then when he gave that clap to the wood, to the tree, Macham, oi, you heard. So Chassid said, yeah. He said, but the oi is not in the painting. The oi is not in the painting. What you wrote over the things that I said, and you did a beautiful job. The only thing that's missing is the oi. And I want you to know, the only way that I'm able to break open the hearts of those Jews who sit with me on Shabbos, it's not because of the words that I said, but because of the oi and how I say them. Because it's how they was pickling those Jews. And those Jews had hearts like a tree waiting to be smashed by the lumberjack. Why do you think Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu? He's Mavakish. A Mavakish could have gotten Moshe Rabbeinu on Zoom, or could have gotten him on live stream. And the equivalent was of live stream in ancient times. Fine Shluchim could have come. And Yeshua was able to do a fantastic Shiurim also. He was a great Magid Shiur. The difference is that Yeshua was a Jew that knew how to scream in an oi. And he heard the oi of Moshe Rabbeinu. And giving over Yiddishkeit is not just a matter of teaching a good class. One of the chavri asked me, how do we raise children with emunah? The world is crazy. It's a crazy world. How do we raise children? The answer is, we're not going to succeed if we just teach them Torah. We have to give them over Yiddishkeit. Umasaroli and Shur with an oi. I now understand there are people who are studying this. They call this now Kilu. There's a thing called Neo Hasidism. You heard about this? You heard about it? You know that we're in this movement, you know? In other words, Rebbe, there are Jews who are going to get a PhD thinking about me and you. Like a dissertation about us. Could you imagine that someone's going to write a dissertation about this Indian of Fabrengen on a Tuesday night in Boca? Someone's writing this. They're already starting to come out with articles and books. People send me these things. I fold them up respectfully and put them away. I'm a Jew because of my father's oi. That's what I received from him. I can't. I've tried. I told the Chavir before. I've tried the thousands of shiurim to explain my father's oi. I don't know to find the words. But all I'm trying for these years is to somehow convey that oi of what it means to be a Jew, that oi of Yiddishkeit. That's not something Yisro could have read in a book. He was a genius, and he had ksav, and he had books. And he could have even gone onto the website, you know, maimonhasinai.com, whatever it was called. And I'm not saying that those things are not good, that people have the opportunity to be able to look Torah that way. That's amazing, amazing. I meet people everywhere I go. It's amazing how people can learn Torah now. It's a gift from Hashem and should be used for that and only for holy things. But it's amazing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not disparaging that at all. It's an amazing tool. And Hashem should have benched all the people that are doing that and who are spreading Torah all over the world, that people are able to learn. They were never able to learn things they couldn't learn in the past. It's unbelievable. But Yisro wasn't such a person that could be satisfied with the tape, with the Zoom, with the web, a website, because he was a Mavakish. Because Yisro's heart was like a piece of wood, and he pulled open his shirt and he pulled open his whatever robes they wore in those days. He pulled it open and he bared his chest and he said, "Tickle me, break my heart. Take the axe and break open this heart that's so hard. Break it open. There's nothing that's holier than a broken heart. Break open the heart." So what does it mean to write a study of the Neo-Hasidic movement? What does it mean? When the whole Metzius is movement, the whole Metzius of a couple of chavra that are trying in different places to somehow to capture a little bit of that oy of Yiddishkeit, not to change anything in any halacha or any gemara, just the opposite. More and more and more. Ketzad say the Mishnah. More learning, more Torah, more Gemara, more Rashi, more Tosfos, more learning, more Halacha, more Shulchan Aruch, more Torah, more Rambam, more everything. But Rabbi Shlomo, what happened to the Oy of Yiddishkeit? I'm watching the Chevra in the back. I can't see, I don't have my glasses on. So we have people here who are dancing. Why weren't you dancing before? You're going to dance now. Where's the Oy? Where's the oil in our Yiddishkeit? How do you teach that? Is there a way we can bring that back? I believe that when a Shleiman it is a way, and it has to come through the Sfar Makalation, it has to come from Or Shiva Sayyam, and from the Holy World, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. That's how I believe. The Baal Shem Tov was sent, it's the Torah Mashiach, so it's Oy Rishon Mashiach, because when Mashiach comes, he's going to run to the back of the room and grab every single one of you. He's not going to stand for it because he's got the axe. You understand? He's got the big axe. He's going to make that leiv ha'evan into a leiv basa vasiroisim. He's going to take it away. He's going to smash. He's going to break that stone heart that what Golas did to us. But all of the years of coldness, of emptiness, of hastaponim, of Hashem hiding from us, of people suffering, of Jews hurting, and of so much of a history of misery and sorrows that have made us afraid to feel anymore, the feeling of a Jew. When we hear that there's a tzara lo aleinu, or something happens, that a Jew was hurt, the Jew was killed. The other day when we heard, once the Shabbos, we heard that there were Jews that were being held hostage in Texas. So then the oy comes right out, yeah? But our children are waiting, their hearts are their shirts are open, they're waiting for us to hit them with an axe of Yiddishkeit, with the oy of Yiddishkeit. I don't know how to do that. I'm trying. You're obeying me, I'm trying. There are many wonderful Jews all over that are trying. The children have to see that. The children have to feel that. When Mashiach comes, it says in the Pasuk, Torah me'iti teze. Torah is going to come forth from me. And if that's a strange Pasuk, what do you mean? We already have the Torah. What does it mean, Torah me'iti teze? If that's strange, because I'll add to that a word that has caused us a lot of aggravation. Torah chadosha mi'iti teze. A new Torah will come forth from me. Do you understand how that would cause a lot of problems, right? Like other religions got involved. Torah chadosha. Nah, your Torah. The Jews, we believe that. Look, a Torah is like the Muchalafis. It's a principle of our emunah that this is the Torah. It's never going to change. This is Mr. Baltoisi, Baltegra. So, what does it mean? Torah Chadosh and Mi'iti takes a new Torah will come forth from you. So, before we were singing the Bedichiv Negin, did a beautiful job, by the way. We were singing the Bedichiv Negin. And in the Likud Tumim Kedushas Levi, in two places, Kedushas Levi talks about this Lut Torah. And Kedushas Levi explains what Chazal tell us, that the Torah is written, Eish Shchayra Al Gabi Eish Levana. When you open up a Sefer Torah, there are black letters. And they're beautiful. And it's written, the letters are written on the white parchment. According to the Mekubalim, if you look in the Ramban and Hadamah to the Torah, you see that all the Mekubalim talk about this. Shalakah, the Shalat, Mother Tzaddikim. The white spaces between the letters contain the deepest, deepest, deepest secrets of time. When it says in Shir Hashem, Yishakenim and Yishikais Pim, Hashem, we're waiting for you to kiss us again, Rashi says that Hashem didn't finish giving us the secrets of Torah. We're waiting for that second kiss. Shir Hashem, Yishakenim and Yishikais Pim, Ki Toivim Doidacha Miyayim. And according to the Mekubalim, Ki Toivim Doidacha is referring to the white spaces. The black letters is the Torah that we have. The white letters, it's not a different Torah, Chas V'Shalom. Every single one of you here, you have friends, you have relatives, and each one of you has spoken many, many hours, have had conversations with people that you love. I was thinking about this yesterday with my father's yahrzeit, about the things that I wanted to say to my father, but I never said to him. And I was always planning to talk to him and to say to him, but I just didn't. I was shy or immature. The things that I wanted to say, and I didn't say. The things that we say are the black letters. The things that we want to say come from the deepest place, the deepest part of who we are. That's called the white, the Levana, the white watch. So the Ditchler said, Terech Hadash and Yiti Tesi doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom, that there's going to be different letters. It means that we're going to then see the love that was behind all of those letters. We're going to feel that Oy Al Hashem's Baruch. Vayisatem Moshe L'chayislein Yiskol HaShalos HaShem L'Parol Mitzrayim. Right, this is like tells the same story, but here it says Vayichad Yisrael. Here Yisrael was overwhelmed with joy, goosebumps, whatever. Is all along the Vayichad Yisrael. When he was reading the monarch notes back in Midian, or washing it on Zoom, it doesn't say Vayichad Yisrael. When he was listening to some professor give a lecture about the nature of the mitzvah of loving Hashem, but that the professor never in his life felt a tremor of love for God in his heart, that wouldn't do it for Yisrael. And it's not working for us either. All the lectures are gewaldic. And they should continue. And we appreciate them. But we're waiting for the acts of Yehuda Leib, that Rebbe Yehuda Leib, to come down in our hearts. Our children are waiting for it. And we're waiting for it. We're waiting for the Eish Levana, for the white, the secret of the white parchments. There's a story that I've told many, many times. I'll end with this. Now, please be mindful if I took too much of your time. Everybody tells me that you're very laid back over here in Florida. New York wouldn't have tolerated any of this. I mean, just like 15, 20 minutes, whatever. Anybody's looking at their things, looking at their things, but you seem to be okay. Unless you're just very, very polite. This is one of my favorite stories. So, am I seeing that you could repeat over and over? So, please be mindful of also if you heard this story already. And it's a gewaldic advice. There were these two tzaddikim, Cheska Magi, Swissy, Rabbi Avram from Chersk, and the Mendel of Orca, who were best friends. And they grew up, they were inseparable, but then it came time for them to separate. And each one had to go into the start to build a Malchus of Yiddishkeit. So in the beginning, there was only a forest that separated them. Each one was in a town across from the forest. And they made an agreement with each other that every Erev Shabbos they would send a letter back and forth from the Trisca Magia to the Mendel of Orchid. They would send a letter. And you need this, a friendship. What's going on? Ideas in Torah and so on. And they needed a volunteer who would agree to deliver the letter back and forth from the Tzaddikim, and it was a Jew. We'll just call him Yankel, whatever. And they see Yankel got the job, which very often took the entire Erev Shabbos and cut into his parnasa quite a bit. Erev Shabbos is a busy day. But he faithfully, for years, went from Tzitzis Magid to Ben Lavorka, and he would wait for Ben Lavorka, would write a letter in response, and would deliver a letter back, and he went like this back and forth. Rotsa v'shaif. So once he was delivering the letter, you know, rain, snow, sleet, hail. Once he was delivering the letter, and he had a Yetzara, you know, you always can justify, find some explanation. I'm doing this for so long, it's just for Sius Nevish. I'm doing this, I'm entitled to see a little bit what the Tzaddik writes. And so he did what you're not allowed to do. And he opened up the letter from the Tzitzis Magid. He opened up the letter. And I'm sure many of you know the story that about the letter, the paper was totally blank. It was a blank piece of paper. He couldn't believe it. What kind of a cruel game is this? I gave him my whole Erev Shabbos, my parnasa, to run back and forth through this mud and filth to deliver. He gives a blank piece of paper. This is what they do. He was so angry and hurt. But he had no choice. He closed it, made it look good. He delivered it to Mendel. Mendel Horkel was so happy to see him. Yankel, oh, I was waiting for Yankel. So he goes into the room, and Yankel's waiting for him like half hour. He comes out with an envelope, and he says, please, Gogas into high, go in good health, and have a good Shabbos. Please give this to my friend, Rabbi Vamela. So here, he just a second, like he leaves the house, he opens this up. He doesn't wait for the doors. He leaves the house and he says, well, I'd like to see how you answer the first letter. So he opens up this letter, totally blank. So he says, they're both crazy people. And I'm like a part of their game. So he went, he closed it up, he went. He goes in there before Shabbos and he, my uncle's doing. I was waiting for you to come back with a letter. He says, here's a letter. And he went. Shabbos, he didn't daven in the Bishop Manish. He davened somewhere else. He couldn't look at the rabbi. He couldn't look at him. On Friday night, not Shabbos, Mincha doesn't come to Shul, he davened someplace else. What's the Shabbos? After Abdullah, the Tzitzis Magid, says to his gabbai, go and get Yanka and bring it to me. Where's Yanka? Yanka can't even look at the rabbi. And the Rebbe says, Yankel, what's wrong? He says, what's wrong, Rebbe? Rebbe, you don't know what's wrong. He says, what's wrong? Rebbe, you know, for whatever, 5-6 years, I'm going in the heat and the snow, I'm going with letters. So he says, yeah, I appreciate it. I always tell you how much I appreciate it. Yeah, but Rebbe, this time, I didn't have that. I looked at your letter. And I asked him, no. What do you mean, no? There was nothing on the letter. It was blank. No. And then I went, of course, to Mendel, and I gave him a letter. I don't know, he's sitting in the room there crying or something. I give him this letter, and I hear him crying, and he's in the room, and then he gives him a letter, and then I said, yeah, no. No. I looked at it right away, the second night off this house, I looked at this letter. I said, no. No, it was the same like your letter. Nothing. He says, I'm sorry, I can't dive in here anymore. I can't be here. It's cruel. So the other said to him, listen, young. You know what a sevatar looks like. There are black letters and there's white bars. Eish chayra gabi eish levana. And you know, Yana, that the secrets of the white parchment are infinitely deeper, because it tells us what the black letter is, how every letter is a way of Hashem showing His love to us, which we don't see and understand. So usually, I want you to know, most of the letters that you delivered back in forth had black letters and white parchment. But sometimes the longing is so great and the love is so strong between us, we can't write the black letters, we just send the white parchment. I had a Talmud that was learning Yerushalayim back in the days when letters were written, and I hadn't received a letter from him for a while. Finally I got a letter and I opened it up, I was excited. It just said on the bottom, "Love, Shmuel." It was blank. Because the story, he heard the story. Just said, "Love, Shmuel." These are the letters that our children have to get. I don't... Is there anything else I could say about this? These are the letters that our wives are waiting to receive from us, the husbands. And the husbands from the wives. When the children go to yeshiva, they're excited to hear the say the mission. They want to see all the black letters. They love learning. Kids love learning. But the chalashim, the chalashim for the white parchment. If you want to call that neo-Hasidism, call it anything you like. I prefer to call it Sheir Shir. I want to give each and every one of you a bracha. To Fabren with other Jews. When Zalman Moshe Yitzhaki sat down with little Mordechai, the eight-year-old boy, he had two cups of vodka, and he made a couple of l'chaims, and he said, "I couldn't really understand the Enod Mulvado unless I Fabren together with another Jew." It's because, not because Rabbi Zalman Moshe was missing the black letters. He had to sit with another Jew who he loves so that he could feel the white letters entering. He could feel the white letters surrounding the words Ein Od Mulvado. That's what it means to use the Fabren. I give you a bracha that your homes, that your life should be filled with Fabrenians, that your life should be filled not only with the wonderful black letters of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh, but should be filled with the white letters, the white parchment. Until that day, there will be zeichet to do a dance with the Mashiach Zekhenim, and the Bula Shema Mitis, and Amen.
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 Baby, I'm a boy.
Baruch Hashem, 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 Rachel's gonna